Chapter 9. In Ambition's Shadow. In the Mist. Chimera. Ra's scraped an Imperial Army bayonet along his cheek, shaving dark stubble with the spit-wet edge as he watched the input monitors detailing the reports from the last of the Outrider forces. The Godspire was heaving with activity as of the last few days, with the Unifiers and their attendant hosts of servitors returned from mapping and repairing the outward tunnels. Squad after squad of custodians and sisters alike were reporting the enemy horde's advance, divided now across almost 40 principal arterials. Grainy picked feeds showed the hideous shapes of deformed titans marching behind swarms of marching legionaries, though these were few in number, compared to the endless blurred imagery of warp-born entities spilling through the passages. Most of the warp's creatures were repelled by the automated defences established under his predecessor's ambitious reigns. They had taken their first steps into the webway, originally fighting blade to blade against demons and devilry, only to turn the defence of the Imperial dungeon into a grueling crusade in this secret realm. Now the tide had reached its highest point, and the inevitable backslide was in full effect. Jassarik, Kadai, Helios, all dead, slain in the throes of their glorious ambitions, in their assured need to serve the Emperor's will as they saw fit. Three artificers worked on Ra's armor as he watched the feeds, drinking in all the information the screens could offer. He had always made a point of acknowledging their patience and expertise in all the years they had served him. Today he barely noticed their existence at all. Acetylene bright sparks flickered from their tools as they refused and reworked the Tribune's battle-worn Oromite. He had been out in the tunnels for days himself, overseeing the withdrawals personally and adding his blade to the butchery.
"Tribune," called a Mechanicum serf from his console.
"Speak." Ra didn't look away from the three dozen screens. He didn't stop shaving. He didn't disturb his artificer's work by turning to face the speaker.
"Word from Sister Vigilator, Mare Yule."
"Relay it." The thrall did so at once, augmenting a series of acutely timed clicks, the kind of coded burst from a sister's handheld messenger. For the first time in over a century of life, Ra Endymion winced and held a hand to his half-shaven cheek, drawing away bloody fingers. Marai was far from the impossible city when she heard the echolocation chime. The sound was a familiar one after so long dwelling inside the realm of mist-choked tunnels, but its intensity made her skin crawl. She felt it not only in her instruments, but humming through the ground, through whatever ether-resistant materials had been used in the webway's construction, by whatever Xenos ancients had dreamed it into being. This was new. She'd never felt the Neverborn in such a way before. Always their manifestations were limited to what she could see, hear, and kill. And there should be silence in this section of tunnels. Rare, blessed silence. The evacuated tunnels were stripped of Mechanicum workers and materials, but Marai had appealed to Commander Kroll and Tribune Endymion to remain in the tunnels of Western Dissension, for suspicion of the warp entity that had devoured the Protector and its honor guard of war robots navigating their way here. Map triangulation was its own special nightmare in the extra-dimensional realm in which they waged war, but the officers of the 10,000 and the Silent Sisterhood had several possible delineated paths for the creature to take, given the tunnels it had so far retreated from in apparent wounded haste. Marai's case had been simple and clear. The creature was testing the automated defences in several dozen tunnels, seeking a way into the city ahead of the enemy horde. Assassination, she reasoned, not warfare, was its intent. If the automated defences continued to herd it into a path of least resistance, that made one route far likelier than any others. First, the tunnels of Western Dissension, then the region called the Bone Garden, where the husks of Eldar war machines lay in pitiful state. Marai had volunteered, with custodian Hyaric Ostianus, to lead the Outriders charged with finding the creature and destroying it, if possible. Ra had even sent Titan support, one of Ignatum's precious engines, striding alongside their small warband of grav vehicles. The echolocation chime sounded again. Far from here, but webway readings were erratic at best. More than once, the Imperials had been confronted by forces that registered as several kilometers away, or chased nothingness that read as an enemy tide. The first thing she did upon hearing the chime was send a monobeam spurt to Commander Kroll via the thumb-sized message beamer in her belt pouch. Several clicks in one of the Sisterhood's coded nonverbal languages was all it took, rapidly signifying her position and the imminent threat swifter than a spoken explanation. The second thing she did was go to Hyrik. The custodian sat in his saddle, his guardian spear over one shoulder, watching his own handheld Auspex. The great warhound titan, Ascreus, stood on station nearby, rotating its top half upon its waist axis, panning and scanning, watching and waiting. Marai appeared next to Hyrik as if she'd been born from the mist. Her transponded chainmail whispered with her walk. He looked at her, his rent and restitched face grim.
"My reading cites a single entity," he said. "Ascreus, Auspex confirms it. This isn't the Horde."
Marae and her fireworms had served alongside Squad Ostianus since their first days within the Webway. She had no need to sign. Hyrik could read her as easily as a data slate.
"Yes,"
he replied to her expression. She glanced to the east, to the endless mist of the labyrinthine tunnels that had brought them here.
"No, remain here and establish a defensive position. We'll return once we have ascertained the truth of the readings."
She met his eyes, and then his eye lenses, once he had sealed his helm into place.
"Jassarik's death has made Endymion and Commander Kroll far too cautious," he told her. "I appreciate your warning, but there's a world of difference between patience and hesitation, and only one of those is considered virtuous."
Within moments, he was accelerating at a strained whine, the suspensors of his jet bike ululating in protest at the sudden speed. The rest of his squad followed, falling into effortless alignment through ease of habit. They were gone into the mist of the tunnel ahead within the span of a single breath. Commander Kroll's reply set the message beamer vibrating in Marai's hand against her palm. Receipt of Marai's position and progress, and a warning to redouble her caution. But that had been an hour ago, when everyone was still alive. Marai moved through the mist alone, her blade held before in a traditional guard position, embodying the first form in the principles of alertness. She stalked rather than walked, careful that her passage wouldn't disturb the golden fog. Elsewhere within the mist, impossible to know where, she heard the demon growl. After that came a series of wet cracks and crunches. It was feeding again. If she came upon it now, she might have a chance. Though now was also her best chance to run. She found Varujan before long, one of Squad Ostianus's warriors. She came upon his jetbike first, a clawed thing of tormented wreckage, the sleek eagles broken, the engine ripped apart. The custodian lay not far from his vehicle, unbreathing, missing both legs and one of his arms. His breastplate and the body beneath was lost to ruination, and his guardian spear was snapped midway down the haft where it had sundered on impact at high speed. Leaving him untouched, she moved on. A shape loomed in the mist ahead, not a wall, as she'd first thought, but the fallen form of Ascreus. She drew nearer to its cockpit, the great metal canine head crooked where its collapse had driven its chin into the ground. The warhound's eye windows were shattered, leaving the war machine's corpse staring sightlessly out into the shrouded webway. Marai could make out the silhouette of one of the crew, slumped in a restraint throne.
"Sister!"
She moved closer still, drawn by the voice from the ruptured cockpit. Two of the crew were dead, bent and slouched at unnatural angles. The surviving steersman had removed his helm and stared towards her. Closer now, she could hear the shallow, swift rhythm of his breathing.
Which one are you?
He spoke in a whisper, seemingly from shock and his wounds rather than tact. She signed her name with one hand and gestured for him to remain quiet. He didn't obey. Both of his eyes were black with dilation.
Where is it? Where did it go? Help. Please. Help me, sister.
Marai looked into the ruined, slanted cockpit. The steersman's control panel had twisted in the impact, crushing his legs and trapping him in his throne. Leaning in, Marai saw his malformed shins and broken ankles wedged within the wreckage. The pain must have been immense. The fact he wasn't screaming was either a testament to his resolve or to the depths of his shock. He was dead whether she freed him from the debris or not, and she couldn't even do that without industrial cutting tools.
Sister,
he said again, louder this time. Marai pressed a gloved finger to her lips, to no avail.
Help me,
the steersman repeated. Elsewhere in the mist, she heard the demon cease its feast and grunt, sniffing the air. He spoke no more. The steersman stared at her for several trembling seconds, unable to do anything more than gurgle breathlessly around the blade lancing through his neck. Marai pulled her longsword free of his throat, letting him fall limp. The demon moved nearby. She heard the creaking and crackling of its stretching limbs, smelt the rancid mammalian stink of its spread wings. She moved again, staying close to the downed titan, drawing her incinerator pistol. The dead warhound wasn't silent, its internals still ticked and clicked as they cooled. Its joints still gave infrequent creaks and scrapes as the machine settled into what would be its grave. It had struck Ascreus first. With the custodian still setting up a perimeter and the Sisters of the Fireworms Carder taking up defensive positions, a bolt of winged darkness had dropped from the featureless sky, landing atop the warhound with an insane screech of claws tearing through consecrated metal. The plaintive whine of rent armor plating and the hammer hiss of bursting pistons ringing through the mist had made the outcome clear even before the immense crash of the Titan's collapse. Reactor guts and spinal stanchions flew wide from the creature's plunging talons, tumbling through the mist and resonating with metallic bangs as they spilled across the ground. Marai could scarcely see the thrashing creature's outline. It seemed out of phase with human senses. There and not there. As much as it was harrowing its way through Ascreus's armor plating with great swings of its claws, its very presence seemed to rend corporeal matter apart, leaving reinforced ceramite and adamantium as fluid as protein mush. It took to the sky, kicking off from the toppling warhound, and vanished once more into the gold. The next time it landed, it had started on the Sisters. Marai thumbed her pistol to a thin jet setting, intending to get close enough that a full spread of flame would be useless. As she reached the warhound's rear, ducking beneath one of the ungainly raised clawed feet, she heard the thrum of active power armor. Marai turned, sword aimed at Hyrik's face. The steel point was a finger's breadth from his nose. His stitched face was a map work of fresh bruising and blood spatters. His eyes, at least, were undamaged and clear. Judging by the damage to his gorget, the demon had torn his helmet clean free when it had almost killed him. She lowered her blade and stared at him. She kept nothing from her expression. Relief, unease, her belief on where they should move. It was all present upon her features. He didn't reply. He didn't even acknowledge her meaning. That was how she knew. Sister and custodian moved in the same moment, both blades coming up as if in reflection of one another. The custodian thrust forwards with his spear. The sister spun aside and parried the blade with an echoing cry of steel on steel. The creature wearing Hyrik's corpse swung uselessly at her, the unpowered blade whistling through the air. Fury lit its dead eyes, the demon enraged at its own sluggishness. Mirai cracked the pommel of her blade into Hyrek's face, shattering the already crooked nose with a snap. She was already moving away, twisting and spinning, leveling her pistol and disgorging a slick torrent of liquid flame. It wasn't enough. The guardian spear pounded through her stomach and burst from her back, driving deep into the layered armor plating of the downed warhound behind her. Her weapons fell from her hands, dropping into the mist. Pinned in place, Mirai still struggled to pull herself forwards, dragging her impaled body along the spear's haft, inch by agonizing inch, gutting herself for the chance to get free. Hyrek stood there, watching her with a loose jaw, showing a spread of lengthening teeth.
Anathema's daughter, he said aloud,
in a voice that was too wet and slack to be his own, the unformed tone of a child practicing speech. Mirai's leeched strength would carry her no further. Blood ran hot and dark from her mouth, cascading in bitter torrents down her breastplate each time she tried to breathe. Weakening hands clutched at the message beamer at her belt, only for it to almost fall from nerveless fingers. She thumbed a brief code before dropping it, the messenger following her weapons down into the ground fog. Her last thought, as Hyrek stepped closer, was that she would still be alive when he started eating her. Fortunately, she was wrong.